Well, now it's time to welcome a man who served 30 years with the Metropolitan Police, Steve Roberts. And first off, Steve, you don't recognise me, do you?
Oh, you do look vaguely familiar.
Well, oh dear, oh dear. Well, I better put a disguise on. Anyway, in welcome to Phoenix FM. Now, I've got to ask you first off, what made you choose a career in the police?
Well, initially, I didn't really wish to join the Metropolitan Police. When I was at school, all I ever wanted to do was play for West Ham United.
Sounds the easier career move.
But once I realised I wasn't good enough, I had to look for something else. And my father at the time, he was a police officer, so he used to keep on to me, join the police, but I wasn't so sure. I could remember being a kid and seeing my dad go to the Grosvenor Square riots in 1968.
Good grief.
And I can recall three policemen who got killed in Shepherd's Bush, I think it was 1966. So I thought, no, I wasn't so sure.
Don't blame you.
So, and I knew policemen could get assaulted and spat at. So I went off and joined an insurance company.
Yep.
And after a couple of years, I found that pretty boring. And all the time, my father's keeping on, join the police. So I joined the police. And I was quite surprised. You know, they accepted someone with a Cockney accent, weighing 10 stone and with an O-level in pottery.
So effectively, it's all down to your father that this happened. It's his fault.
That's right. He kept saying, as much as I used to protest, he said, well, just try it. Just give it a few weeks. If you don't like it, you can always leave. So I went to training school, and after, I'll give it the first 5 weeks, and I came home, and I said to Dad, I would like to leave. But he said, give it another 5 weeks, and then eventually I got into the swing of things.
But there must have been some occasion when you thought, my God, this is one big mistake.
Well, as I say, I had that fear about joining the Metropolitan Police. And then my actual first day when I'm going up to the training school in Hendon, I've opened my newspaper up and the headlines were 100 police officers injured at the Notting Hill Carnival the day before. And I realised then, I thought straight away that I'd made a big mistake. And then on the anniversary of that day, I found myself at Notting Hill, being on the receiving end of bottles and bricks and hiding behind a 5 foot shield. And I did have reservations then. But
I'd have had big reservations. I think I wouldn't have been behind a 5 foot shield. I'd have been behind as many of the other police officers as I could get.
That's right.
So what was that? What happened? What was that like? Being on the receiving end of all these bricks and bottles and goodness and what else coming at you?
Well, I found it a very, very strange experience, quite honestly. And I'll have to admit, I had that little voice in the back of my head saying, Steve, run. You know, you're going to get into big trouble. But I had my colleagues around me and
I'd have made sure they were in front of me, I think.
Yes. So they looked after me. And initially, once you get into it, you sort of lose fear. You get into them. You're into the moment, into the melee. And there, my little team would duck down behind shields.
Yeah.
And although I couldn't understand why they didn't just walk through the shields, but they just stood back and threw at the shields. And then after a while, there was reinforcements. So that was quite an interesting and rather alarming experience. But I persevere, and it's probably as a result of that I decided to become a detective.
Oh, right. So you served in numerous divisions, did you not?
Yes. My first division was H Division, which is the East End of London, around Stepney, London Borough of Tower Hamlets. And I thought this was quite strange getting posted there because this was just Lemon Street Police Station.
Oh, yes.
It's just a stone's throw from where I was brought up as a kid in Stepney. And so I knew the area.
But you saw it from another side now.
Yeah, that's right. But I always have, when I look back, an affinity with that area. It's the first place I worked at. and you know, I got to know the local people, and I found it really, really interesting. And when I joined, there was quite a few. It was an era when they took a lot of new recruits into the Metropolitan Police, so you had a lot of comrades. We all lived together in a section house, so there was a lot of camaraderie.
So you weren't actually just going home in the evening. It was all.
It's like a hostel.
Really?
It was. Yes, yes, you had your little room there. So it was in a hostel, not too far from Lemon Street. In fact, we used to walk.
Yes.
About a 10-minute walk in the morning.
Because you were in the flying squad, the murder squad, kidnap division, etc. as well, were you not?
Yeah, so in the Metropolitan Police, as I should imagine other police forces, there's a lot of opportunities to do a lot of other things, you know, and it's very, very varied. And one thing just led to another. You know, I became a detective.
Yes.
You work at different police stations. And then you get the opportunity to apply for some of these specialist squads. And so regularly, every 3 or 4 years, I was doing virtually a completely different job. It was like starting a new job.
Mm.
And so it made it very, very interesting. When I look back, that's probably the number one thing that stands out in my own mind is the variety
of
work and working with some very, very interesting people and dealing with some very, very interesting people.
I can imagine. Which division is the most memorable and which did you enjoy most?
Well, I suppose I enjoyed H. That was as a PC because that was so new and I was sort of learning the ropes, walking the beat. So that stands out in my mind. But and then with the specialist investigation units, such as the kidnap unit, you know, that was interesting. I would probably say that was the most interesting, exciting and demanding job that I ever had. It gave me the opportunities to do, like, sort of specialise in a very, very interesting crime, for want of a better expression, that not many people have been involved in. And I never thought when I joined, even though my father was in the police service, I would have the opportunity of working abroad. So I had the opportunity.
You worked abroad as well?
So I went to China, Thailand, been to the United States on several occasions, in fact.
And this was in connection with what exactly?
Well, it was just different units. So with the kidnap unit, you know, we dealt with a few jobs where Chinese people were coming over from China and they were being detained in the UK by Chinese snakeheads for one reason or another.
These are sort of tongs, were they?
Yes. Like Chinese, like criminals.
Yeah.
And as a result of some of these investigations, you know, on one occasion, you know, the boss needed two detectives to go to China, and I went along. And so we liaised with the Chinese authorities. And in fact,
were they helpful?
I've got to say they were very, very helpful.
Yes.
You know, everything we requested, we received.
Yeah.
We went to Beijing. I can remember they took us to the Beijing Wall on one occasion. And we got to go to other places to make inquiries, like Guangzhou, which is a major city.
Yes.
And most of the inquiries were in the Fujian province, which is a province right in the south of China.
Yeah.
And these cases that we were involved in, basically it surrounds like economic migrants. These Chinese people, they just wish to leave China and get into the United States or somewhere in Europe just to work and send money home to their families. But because they're get embroiled with these snakehead groups who facilitate their journeys out of China, you know, their difficulties arise, you know. And in our particular case, once these Chinese people arrived in Gatwick, in this particular case, you know, they got taken by Chinese snakeheads to an address where they'd be detained against their will until all outstanding monies had been paid.
Oh, yeah, by their relatives or whoever.
That's right.
Yeah, and probably the amounts had gone up from what was agreed and all this sort of thing.
Exactly, exactly.
Now, you've alluded to sort of meeting some colourful characters. Are there any special memorable incidents or people that you can spring immediately to mind?
really, yeah, it's funny, like dealing with like criminals, you know, it's a strange term because they're just ordinary like individuals, and it's just like meeting friends at any other group. Some you find dull, some not nice, but some are very, very interesting, and I found very, very engaging. And on one occasion, I even remember one chap we went to visit in a prison because he was in custody for something, and he was assisting us with a murder inquiry, and at the end of the day he agreed to give evidence for the Crown in this particular case, although he did say he had to check with some of his peers to make sure it was ethical for him. But he was a very, very interested and turned out to be a very, very helpful for us on that murder investigation.
Now, I believe that some of the sort of characters you've run into are people like Champagne Sid, Harry the Rat, the wonderful names.
Yeah, that was on the flying squad. You know, and on the flying squad, you deal with armed robbery investigations. Yes. And there was one particular armed robbery investigation where we're following people, like robbers, in fact, and they're looking at security vehicle deliveries to banks and post offices and the like. And this particular team that contained Champagne Sid and Dave, they were nicknames that they had you know, for a long, long time. And we followed them. And in the end, on one particular day, we followed them down to the South Coast, not far from Eastbourne. And they was arrested in the process of attempting to rob a security vehicle down there. But I've got to say, Champagne Sid, he was a very, very colourful character, hence the name Champagne Sid, and he did literally like his champagne.
We wouldn't get many of those in jail.
That's right, that's right.
But did you have any sort of dangerous situations, maybe shot at or anything like that? If you're dealing with these sort of people, potentially you've got a problem, do you not?
Well, I wasn't an authorised shot, but on those types of investigations...
Well, no, but you could get shot at.
Yes, that's right. Although I always made sure I wore that ballistic vest and what have you. And if I was the front passenger in a vehicle when the attack went in, I made sure I kept myself low in the footwell. I wasn't above my head.
That seems reasonable to me.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And what about, I believe there was one incident you were involved in where you actually ended up sort of on the back of a vehicle sort of chasing somebody around the East End. And
yeah, that was very, very early on.
Oh, really?
And like local criminals, there were some local criminals who were stealing from backs of lorries, and we were going along, and we see these individuals, and so we're ducking down, trying to get closer to see what they're up to. And then suddenly they see it's us, and two of them get into the cab of an open back pickup truck, slowly start driving away. And I don't know what came over me, because it seems to be no rhyme or reason, but I started running as fast as I could. And then somehow I managed to dive for the back of this lorry and pull myself into the back.
Yeah.
And it was only once I was in the back that my brain's finally engaged. And I thought, what have I done? So I was feeling slightly apprehensive, to say the least, as I'm clinging on for dear life.
Where's the nearest laundry?
exactly.
Yeah.
But the passengers climbed out through the passenger door window, and he's ran away. But the driver, he's totally oblivious that I'm on the back, and I've got my truncheon, and I'm bashing on the cab, screaming at this man, will you stop?
Yes.
And he finally turns round, sees me on the back, and says, where the flipping hell have you come from?
Words to that effect.
Exactly, words to that effect.
Yeah.
So I told him that he was arrested, although I haven't quite worked out what for at this stage. And then, surprisingly, he's turned around to me and said, where to? Lemon Street or Arbor Square? And I did feel quite proud of myself, being very, very young in service, as he's driven into the station yard at Lemon Street Police Station.
Unbelievable.
And then once we're in the back, I pull back a huge piece of tarpaulin to uncover three huge beef carcasses that he has stolen from a local butcher shop. And I have to say, that was the closest I ever came to cattle rustling in the East End of London.
Now, you've painted a picture of some colourful incidents, but I'm assuming that a heck of a lot of the work that you were involved in was sort of mundane volumes of paperwork. Is that right?
There was a lot of paperwork, but especially when you're on the specialist squad, there's a lot of pride at building the case together, you know, for like the murder squad, the kidnap unit. You go for a big trial eventually at the Old Bailey. So it's a matter of pride, and you want everything done properly.
Yeah,
so you accept it as part of your work.
Now, your father persuaded you to join the police, but would you encourage a son of yours or anyone else to consider a career in the police, having experienced 30 years?
I would say, I think a person would have to look carefully at it. You know, it's shift work, and if you've got a family, it can be difficult at times. But for a career that's rewarding and rich in variety, with so many different opportunities, I would say the Metropolitan Police or any police service is a good job to consider.
Yeah, well, that's great stuff. Well, look, Stephen, thanks very much indeed for coming and talk to us today, and enjoy your retirement when you're not going around the country telling everybody about your activities.
Lovely.
Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you, Scott.